The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
They were the heroes from the future. Teenagers protecting the universe from those that would sow the seeds of chaos. Each had unique powers and abilities. And though they often had their differences, they came together to save the day as the Legion of Superheroes. Now, you can be a part of their adventures and learn the history of the future in the Legion Clubhouse.
You're invited to a wedding. Oh, wait, not you, but definitely you are invited to a wedding. Yeah, that's it.
Legion of Superheroes Annual Number 2. Wherever gods there be. Published September 1983. Written by Keith Giffen and Paul Levitz, with art by Dave Gibbons. Synopsis: a funny thing happened on the way to a Legion wedding.
Everyone who's anyone, Matthew, has been invited to a wedding. Except for Block on the cover, who's blocking everyone's way. Like a jerk. This whole issue is filled with jerks, and Block is one of them.
Wow. Okay.
He's like, let's have the tallest person stand in the front and block everyone's view.
Bouncing Boy does not get to go. Bouncing Boy has to stay in the Legion headquarters, which is sad.
Yeah, which is weird, because you would think that they could put, like, a substitute or a reserve, or one of the trainees, just in charge for monitor duty, so that they could go in and participate.
If something bad happens, I feel like I'd rather have
what bad things could happen. This is the Legion of Superheroes.
I'd rather have experienced heroes there. So, you know, I'm just like, I mean, yes, it's Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel, but come on. Would you rather have Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel, or would you rather have, I don't know, Ted? You know, the guy who works at the Photoshop on the corner.
No. I'm gonna do some quoting of Dreamgirl here. Skip the sarcasm, Shug. Keep the rocks flowing to Cosmic Boy. Because that's what she sounds like.
I'm no longer going to engage with this dream girl slander.
It's the only way that makes her interesting. Does Ultra Boy need to switch to flight mode, or does he have a flight ring when he's doing all this heavy lifting?
Ultra Boy does have a flight ring, but his flying power allows him to fly faster than the ring.
Okay.
So, yes, he carries a flight ring because when he's actually lifting the rock with his super strength, he's levitating himself with
the flight ring,
which makes no sense at all, but sure.
Well, that's why I asked, because it's like he's got to switch between powers so he can lift up these heavy rocks into the atmosphere, and then White Witch shows up with her Destructo powers, and then he switches to from heavy lifting and flying to super breath.
Right.
And that's why I was wondering, well, you know, if he's switching powers, does he, you know, does he have his stuff? Meanwhile, Starboy makes it rain.
Makes it rain. Oh, yeah.
Ah, Shug, my hair's getting all wet.
And isn't her hair just like,
it's like
phenomenal?
The sharpest 80s, like she's going to hurt somebody.
I know. Well, and that's Dave Gibbons. This is strange because this is as far as I can remember, this is the only time that Gibbons draws the Legion, but his style in my mind is now so locked into Watchmen. I can't help but look at, like, if you look at Ultra Boy, to me, I'm looking at Ultra Boy and I'm like, Ultra Boy looks like kind of a square jawed Hollis Mason. And you look at Dream Girl and you're like, well, that's just, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's their Lori. That's for sure. But man, that Farrah Fawcett feather that he's got going on her is going to hurt somebody, is going to poke somebody's eye out, is what's going to happen. Meanwhile,
they actually mention it in story where she's like, oh, no, I had to go to the. See, now I'm doing it.
Oh, sugar, my hair's getting all wet. And then she has to go do a soaking bath or something before they go to the wedding. But here's the thing. They show up last issue. They were moving some rocks around and Ultra Boy got mad at Dream Girl. And then this issue, they continue to move a few rocks around and they're like, well, our work here is done. You can just kind of see them, you know, clapping their hands, you know, together to brush off the dirt, and they fly off. And it's like, we certainly have done a lot of hard work here on Daxam. And as we pull away, it's like the whole planet is still Darkseid's head. Like nothing has been done.
It takes.
And they acknowledge it. I mean, they acknowledge that. Yeah, we showed up. It felt a little PR-ish and we did a little thing. But yeah. We got a wedding to go to.
It's not cool. Well, and they do. They got a wedding to go to. We don't have a lot of Legion weddings. There have been two in 50 years.
Well, yeah, because they're all, you know, been 14, 15, 16-year-olds.
Or 37-year-olds.
Or 300-year-olds, depending on which story you want to believe.
We believe that one story.
The next thing I have a question is, do the medieval people of Orlando freak out whenever they see advanced technology, or do they are the Orandans more like Luddites or MAGA people who just want to, you know, keep things in a static backwards age?
I feel like the Orandans are traditional kind of people. I mean, they're, you know, if you look at some of these things where you're like, okay, this planet is, you know, clearly the space hippies and this planet is clearly the space yuppies. There may be the space Amish or the people who want to keep things the same and don't want the technology to change. I feel like MAGA has kind of a reactionary. We hate everything. You know?
Well, yeah, no, but I'm talking about.
We want to take it back to the way it used to be.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? We want to take it back to the way things used to be, the medieval period. And so that's why I'm wondering, because they wouldn't technically be Luddites because they don't smash the technology that shows up. And I have not seen anything where they are, you know, hindering technology, but they certainly are like, wow, look at all these flying machines. Pay no attention to that, son. Let's get the horse and carriage and this hay back to your starving mother who lives out in the medieval forest.
Yeah, it's like Planet Camelot. And
it's really weird, man. It's hard to wrap my head around it every time I see this, because it just seems so
out of place.
What a bunch of backwards people.
Well, and Karate Kid actually jokes about wanting to build a spaceport, and Projector is like, you know, they wouldn't let you get away with that. They barely accept that I'm marrying an Earthman in the first place. And there's a joke there, but there's also kind of a,
these are closed-minded peoples. Yeah, these are closed-minded peoples.
Well, yeah, I think they're just very set in their ways, but, you know, they're willing to have these weirdos come to their planet and people flying around and
If they really wanted to kind of put it for, I mean, we've already kind of seen it before, right? When the first time Karate Kid came to the planet to seek her hand in marriage, and like the knights and everybody like rebelled and were like trying to kill him and everything.
We are knights that say icky, icky, icky.
I just feel like if they were not doing the Queen's orders, every single one of these Legion members would have been rounded up, poked with lances and swords, and just been told to go away.
Boy, I would have liked to see them pull that on Mon-El.
And Karate Kid's head would have been chopped off.
Oh, almost certainly. I want to see some knight come up and take his iron sword and just poke it at Supergirl and how long it takes for him to be on his face.
I'm sure at some point, if that were the story, it would be revealed that they're working with, you know, some villain organization, and they would have had kryptonite and they would have had everything they needed. In fact, we already did that Mordru story. So I don't know. Anyway, Timberwolf goes up to Karate Kid, and Karate Kid says, hey, how about this party? Really good, huh? Oh, sorry. Your girlfriend left you.
It is very much a non sequitur. Just like, I think the expectation here is that we're supposed to understand that these are old friends, mm-hmm. and that they say things and go, oh, sorry, too soon. I don't know. It just kind of feels like a moment where I don't feel like Timberwolf and Karate Kid have had like a long.
No, I don't think so. That's why it just feels so awkward when he's just like, ah, sorry about Lightlass not being here. Oh, wait,
I got a bit upset when I heard about your wedding. Oh, because your woman left you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Val. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Superboy's been invited, and his whooshing through the timeline has mm-hmm. caused a disruption that causes a large portion of the Legion to blip out of existence.
Well, it's only about a quarter of the Legion. I mean, they have 21 members.
Oh, my God.
So
starting from right now, all the way mm-hmm. through next issue, they can't stress enough how we've only got 21 members in the Legion. We've only got 21 members. You do understand that we only have 21 members in this Legion. It's just like, come on, man. We get it.
You know what? Bring Bouncing Boy and Matter Eater Lad back to the team, you guys.
Well, Bouncing Boy is just hanging out, you know. I think he's
running.
He and Duo Damsel are just taking advantage of their rich friends, right? It's like, hey, rich friend invites you over to the house to kind of hang out, and they're like, yeah, yeah, sure. And then they never leave. They're like permanent guests at the Legion HQ.
I think that's more Supergirl right now. She's been hanging around.
I don't know. I mean, she's more of a member than Bouncing Boy is right now.
Well, that's just cruel.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's cruel. So anyway, Superboy screws up.
Yeah, so he sends the Legion back in time, mm-hmm. which I'll get to in a moment. But I wonder, you know, it's like, what is it, like 6 years or so from now, we get the Legion Lost, where they're literally lost in time for a huge story arc.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where we start to see some of this starting to... the seeds for that storyline starting to appear?
This actually happens several times, because I know that there's also an arc at the beginning of Legion Volume 3
mm-hmm.
or Volume 4. I don't remember. The next Legion book that's going to launch here in 1984, so about a year from now or three or four episodes down the line, we actually see in the wake of the Legion of Supervillains war, we see five Legionnaires separated from the group for an extended period.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and that's why I was wondering if this was just kind of
I think it's a Levitz the thing.
Mm.
I think it's a Levitz thing because, you know, as you mentioned, at one point we had three five-person teams running right. around the galaxy, and they were jumping back and forth. And I feel like it's just Levitz kind of honing that down to, hey, we're going to focus on these five Legionnaires in this situation, and we're going to take those five characters and play them off each other. So
yeah.
But it is interesting to see, you know, the five Legionnaires in the past, because they land on an unknown planet. They don't know when they are. They don't know where they are. Cosmic Boy reaches out and goes, okay, this is Earth. I recognize the magnetic field.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ultra Boy is like, okay, telescopic vision shows me this, this, and this. A Cosmic Boy is like, okay, we're in the second century BC on Earth. And I mean, it's this cool moment where you see them completely out of their element, and they put everything together quickly.
Yep. Yeah.
And what I sisters are like, have we got any magic? No. Can you see the future? No.
Yeah, okay, she didn't prep her spells for the day, which again is kind of like this weird Dungeons and Dragons thing that comes through, right? Like even today in Dungeons and Dragons, for people who played, if you're a magic user, I don't know about fifth edition, but certainly before that, you had to prep your spells for the day, and you only have a certain number of slots of spells that you can fill. And if you decide that you want to go ice powers instead of fire powers, and then suddenly you're confronted with a creature that can only be destroyed by fire powers, you're kind of out of luck. And that kind of feels the way that they treat White Witch here with these Dungeons and Dragons limitations.
I mean, it's a common theme with magic using sure. heroes to try and, you know, limit the Doctor Strange can do anything of it all. And I'm really sort of fine with it, especially since, you know, 83 would have been right in the middle of Advanced Dungeons mm-hmm. and Dragons. When you did, you prepare your spells
mm-hmm.
and you like hand somebody a piece of paper that said, I prepared explosive runes today.
One of the things that I like about Gibbon's art here is, sure, drawing the lighthouse at Alexandria is a good kind of nod to let people know, oh, we're in the past. But I like mm-hmm. the fact that he doesn't weather, or he should have probably weathered Stonehenge a little bit more. And the fact mm-hmm. that the Acropolis is not blown up.
Right.
Which are really good details.
All together. And he's Ultra Boy is like, okay, there's this really cool wall being built. And I'm like, did the Great Wall of China not survive to the 30th century?
It may not have. I mean, remember, depending on which timeline you're reading, the Earth got blowed up real good a couple of times.
Yeah, you can't.
It's
that.
The Great Wall of China is good at keeping the Huns out, but the Kund, no way.
And of course, we do get one of the most shocking moments in Legion history, where Ultra Boy's like, "Okay, I'll just travel forward in time." Whoop, whoop, whoop. Ah, crap! I can't.
It isn't. He can't go fast enough. Is his problem?
He can go fast enough, but he can't be invulnerable while he does it.
Yeah, to the
Stresses of the time stream will literally tear him apart. And I actually went back because Dream Girl actually says every other time you've broken the time barrier, you've done it with Superboy or Mon-El or in a time bubble.
Yeah.
And I went back. And that is true. Ultra Boy has never time traveled outside of a bubble without the help of Superboy or Mon-El or without a time travel device, which I think is really nice, first of all, on the part of Levitz, but also a really interesting point to make. You know, 30 years into the existence of this group, you're like, oh yeah, remember, this guy isn't just Superboy. He's Superboy with this, you know, this little limitation, that asterisk that makes him a completely different character functionally. I really like that.
Yeah. And then some gladiators show up, or Romans or Grecians. We're not really sure.
They used to be Grecians. Now they're ex-Grecians.
Yeah, I'm just wondering with when people see that, if the first thing they think is Romans or Grecians.
I don't know. I think Roman.
Yeah, which is really weird, because then when they show up at the city and the people are pointing them to the temple, then it's the Greek gods that show up.
Well, they're kind of the same guys.
I mean, yes, but and so
I look at these and I'm like, yeah, Roman soldiers. They've got the crests on their hats and the shields, and then, you know, it looks like Roman legionaries to me.
Yeah.
So I
don't know.
Maybe Greece and Rome are the same in the DC universe.
I think people just don't know. And again, because of when you look at Zeus and you look at Jupiter and you look at, you know, Neptune and you look at Poseidon. You know, it's very easy. I mean, and that was one of the things about the Romans, why they were able to conquer so much as they did, is because they were just like, yeah, man, if you want to bring your religion in here, go right ahead. We don't care. Just realize that, you know, our gods are the main gods. But if you guys want to practice your crazy religions, go for it.
Well, and, you know,
and people were like, okay with that.
Crap gods, we're going to take your good gods.
Yes. And that's what that was the other thing. Oh, yeah.
You've got like Jeff, the god of biscuits. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so we have this whole thing where the Legion members are fighting these Olympians, and through the process, they're like, no, we're from the future. And they're like, no, there's no way you're from the future. And they're like, hi, you are on our Olympus. And there's no way that that you're from the future, because we are from space. We are spacemen's. And
we know that time travel is impossible.
Yes, that time travel is impossible. And then Dream Girl is like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I see your planet. Nuclear destruction. You guys are Durlans.
Yep.
And so the ancient Greek gods, Roman gods, all Durlans.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I mean, it just seems like we need an alien race. Durlans. Okay, we're going to make these guys Durlans.
Well, it makes sense up to a point, because if you're like, hey, what alien race already established could show up on Earth and easily
Kryptonians?
Easily take the forms of these gods?
I mean, it would explain why Zeus transforms into an ox and has sex with the women and turns into a goose and then turns into a golden shower and has sex with the women. Makes perfect sense, I guess, from that standpoint, but
it does explain
a little bit of an eye roll the minute that they're like, you're Daxams.
Well, and then there's also the problem that I think you definitely called out.
Yes, because here's the biggest problem, right? So if I understand the Durlan history that we have been presented so far, Durlans are only able to gain shape-shifting abilities after the nuclear war. This takes place before the nuclear war, yet they have, and again, were they originally humanoid forms and the nuclear war caused them to turn into the chameleon boys and the other Durlans with the Cthulhu faces that we know today? Or is there a little bit of a mix up here in what we mean by Durlan? And I think I said Daxam earlier, but Durlan is what I mean.
You did.
Yeah.
I think what had happened was we established, I think the first moment of, or the first reference to the 6-minute war came in that previous story where Reap and his father went back.
Yep.
But the 6-year war was later used as an explanation for how they got their powers, because I don't know that the issue explicitly states, and Dream Girl seems to say here that the only people who survive will be ones with powers like your own, shapeshifters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's the implication here is that it's a natural power that somehow became a thing after the war. But I feel like the later stories say the war gave them the power.
Yeah, and that's what the last issue seemed to imply when Reap and Brand were there, was that that's the war gave them their powers because they had to deal with the mutations brought on by the radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like,
the first time that I can remember ever actually going to Durla was that previous story.
You were a wee little boy. And
it was like Legion 301, I think was, where Reap had to fight everybody and fight. Fight. But that was like 3 issues ago. And I feel like what we're seeing here is not so much we forgot as early installment weirdness.
Yeah.
To the point where if you actually go, and I've been kind of digging through a couple of different online sources. If you go and you look at DC, the official, quote unquote, the official open source DC wiki doesn't even mention this story as having Durlans in it. So I don't know if they retconned it or what, but yeah, it's a thing. It's a weird thing, and I don't like it.
Well, they freak out when Dream Girl tells them that their planet is in danger, and so they all just get in their spaceship and fly away. And then we're like, well, how are they going to get back to the future? They have no DeLorean. They have no abilities. We've seen that Ultra Boy can't get up to 88 miles per hour.
Right.
So
and then another Durlan shows up and goes, I'm a Durlan, caca.
And they're like, wait a minute, we know that caca. And he's like, yes, in all the pages that Stephen and Matthew haven't talked about, myself and Bouncing Boy and Duo Damsel and my father Brand all started to examine and do the science. And we found out that there was a time blip. So we contacted the Time Blip Association and they told us where you guys were. So I jumped in a time cube, not a time bubble. I borrowed the space cube and I'm back here, and now we can go make it to the wedding on time.
Yep. And I really enjoy that because it's another example of Chameleon Boy. We've seen them say Chameleon Boy is a really good detective.
Yeah. That's why he's part of the espionage showing squad.
Yeah. This is them showing it because we see them in Legion headquarters and Brand is like, what? And you know, Duo Damsel and Bouncing Boy have no idea what's going on, but in Cam's mind, it's just ABC.
Yeah.
Dawnstar can't find them, so they didn't travel in space. Obviously, there's only another answer. So we see him. He like calls and goes, hello, Professor Neutron. And
you then remember we don't Professor Neutron, like, don't you?
Yeah, we don't see him for like 10 pages. Then all of a sudden, he's like, hello, Celine Dion, and he's come to save the day. Yeah, I really enjoy that. And I feel like the only problem with this story is that, again, that weird these bad guys are Durlans thing.
Well, and I don't know if I would classify the gods as bad guys. It's just,
okay, the antagonists, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, the antagonists. I would definitely go with that. But it just, I don't know, it confuses the history of what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think it is a buildup because we do see that the Durlans do become, at least in the current present day of DC Comics of 1983 through 89, that the Durlans are bad guys. They have some ill intent. So yes,
the Durlans become a recurring thing, and it's kind of sad because we've seen, you know, up to this point, a lot of mistrust of the Durlans and a lot of, oh, what are they up to? And I feel like turning that into, well, they're up to no good, they're all bad and awful, kind of really undermines the whole point of why are, you know, these stories are like, why are we trying to tar a whole race with one terrible brush? But later stories are like, because they're all terrible.
Well, because they're aliens, number one, right?
They're weird.
And they're weird looking. And so we can get away with xenophobia when it's actually, you know, creatures from another planet.
I guess.
That was kind of my overall read is it's easy cop out when they don't look like us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we get to the wedding. And yes, we've had two weddings before.
Yes.
This wedding is the most phenomenal wedding for me because everybody here is incredibly selfish. Karate Kid and Projector are up there having the happiest day of their life. The Legionnaires are all wrapped up in their own crap. Saturn Girl and Lightning Ladder are like, we're keeping a secret. And Sunboy's like, my face hurts. And all of the couples are like, oh, we're couples. Teehee.
Yeah, but I mean, don't you do that when you go to a wedding, when you're with your wife and it's like the happy moment and you hold each other's hands and you're happy too?
No, I sit there like Timberwolf going, damn you, Ayla. Why would you bring me into this team? Why would you even do this? But it is interesting because you do see, you know, you see some things that are about to become issues. You see once again another tease at some secret that the Ranzas are holding. And we see Mon-El and Shadow Lass going, and of course, so happy are Shrinking Violet and Colossal Boy. It's a good thing nothing bad's going to happen to mess with that.
Yeah, except that somebody on the team is an imposter. Who could it be? We'll find out after this.
If you enjoy the show, we would appreciate your support. You can find out more and become a Legion Clubhouse member at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Legion of Superheroes number 304, Siege Perilous. Published October 1983. Written by Keith Giffen and Paul Levitz with art by Keith Giffen. Synopsis: which Legion Academy member will join the team?
Okay, we are into issue, whatever issue this is.
304.
We are into this issue deep, and I gotta say that I think that there were a couple of missteps in this issue that could have made this issue go from, or at least the story arc, go from really good to really great. In that.
Sure.
So, what are we on? Page, is it 4 or 5 or wherever it is, right? We have Element Lad, we have Chameleon Boy, we have Siobhan, and who's the other
Brainiac
one?
Brainiac 5.
They're all having a little conference, and they're like, hey, we figured out that Shrinking Violet is an imposter. And it's like, well, first of all, the last time we saw them, they were going to Imsk. This issue, they're already back. And then in the next issue, they're going to be on Imsk again. Yeah.
Element Lad went to Imsk and came back at the end of the wedding issue.
I would actually remove all of page 4 from this issue. And then just not even, because they reveal it, they lay it all out here on the 4 pages in, that Shrinking Violet is an imposter. We don't know who she is. We need to get her to Imps so we can figure out what's going on. If you take out page 4, then later in the issue, when they're just like, hey, Shrinking Violet, we need your help. There's a mission that you need to go on right now. And they kind of force her into the ship and they take off. And then everything forward that you read regarding that, suddenly you're like, well, that's weird. Why are they suddenly forcing her to a mission so that when you do get to the next issue after this, where everything is revealed, then it's like, oh, wow, she's been an imposter all along. Wow, that's really cool. But they don't do that. They kind of open the kimono all the way on the next really 2 issues of story. And I really, in hindsight, think that that was a poor decision.
When you put it like that, I can't help but think you've got a point. There's definitely something going on here that having that reveal and having it be almost a casual reveal of, yep, these are bad things are happening. They come out and say Violet. If they had removed the reference even just, you know, not saying Violet's name, I never suspected that one of us had been replaced by an imposter months ago.
Yeah.
I feel like that would have been better. I feel like you're right, though. That does have a thing to it. I also love the choice of people that Element Lad is willing to show off to or willing to share with right now, because he's confiding in Brainiac, the smartest Legionnaire, and Chameleon Boy, the other smartest Legionnaire and the leader of the espionage squad. He's not going to Mon-El. He's not going to the leader. Of course, he hates her.
Right.
But he's not, you know, he's not getting people involved.
No, it has to be
don't need to be involved.
It has to be a close group, because the minute you come out and say, Matthew, you've been a Skrull all this time, and I know it, everyone's going to say, come on, knock it off. Matthew's not a Skrull. And then Matthew pulls his face off and says, but I am a Skrull, right? No, but I don't know. I don't even know if I would even say someone among us is an imposter. I would have, you know, last issue. That last issue had a perfect ending where it's like one of us is an imposter. Then we go through this entire issue and you don't even make a reference to it until they're like Shrinking Violet, get on the ship and they fly away. Then you're like, oh, that's weird. Why didn't they just take her boyfriend along with her and all these other things? So that when, again, this is kind of foreshadowing, as we'll see in the next episode, when you do get to the reveal, then it was because I actually because I kind of knew when the reveal was happening, I went ahead and jumped over all of these issues from the, I went from, when I read these, I went from the Emerald Eye reveal to issue 305 or 307, whatever it is, 305. And I read that and I was like, oh, wow, this is really kind of a cool reveal. And then when I read 304, I was like, they kind of ruined their, they kind of ruined their bit. They kind of jumped the gun, and I think it would have been a classic Stan Lee ending to say, why is Shrinking Violet being forced off planet? Come back next week for a shocking reveal, and then, or next month, and then everybody would be talking about it.
Right.
But, I mean, that's kind of the minor story, considering everything else that's going on, because we do get to spend the entire issue focusing on the trainees, the Legion trainees, and whether they are going to make it, because, again, Matthew, can't stress it enough. There's only 21 members of the Legion.
Only 21.
Only 21. What are we going to do? There's only 21 members of the Legion. We better fill up these ranks fast. And so who do we got? We have Laurel Kent. We've seen her before.
Right.
Shadow Lad, which is Shadow Lass's cousin. We've established that before.
Shadow Kid, I thought.
Shadow Kid? Maybe. Oh, I thought they called him Lad here, but maybe it is Shadow Kid.
They might, because they call Magnetic Kid Magnetic Lad.
Oh, there you go. Maybe I got him flipped around. Then we have Lamprey. Uh-huh. And Jed, who, in my mind, talks like Gomer Pyle. So if Dream Girl talks, you know, like Southern Belle, Jed is definitely the Gomer Pyle of this group.
Jed's also, code name is Power Boy, which is terrible.
They just keep calling him Jed. Then you have a Magnetic Kid or Lad or whichever one.
Magnetic Lad Kid.
How
kid
many
lad.
Non-dead brothers does Cosmic Boy have?
Just one.
Okay, because for some reason I thought he only had the one brother, and that's why when his family was murdered...
His mother died.
Oh, his I thought his father, brother died too.
No, his father and his brother Paul survived, and that's who Magnetic Kid is.
For some reason, I thought it was the whole family.
Yeah, he survived the fireballing, and then Cosmic Boy's mother died.
Okay. Well, he kind of flew off the handle a little bit too much since it was just his mom.
It's a DC comic. When your mom dies, you're allowed to go boogity, boogity, boogity. Don't forget.
I'm not downplaying people's mothers who've died. I'm not trying to do that. But, you know, if it's like you wiped out my entire family, I feel a little bit more justified. But it's like, okay, there was a firebombing. Your mom died.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway.
Don't forget Crystal Kid.
Crystal Kid is there, right? You know, I love his... Yeah. I love his drink. My favorite was the pink lemonade. I didn't know if you had a crystal light drink that was a favorite of yours or not.
I was going to make a joke about crystal something else, but then I thought, no, I believe I shall postpone. And
we have Nightwind, Comet Queen.
Right. And Urk. Don't forget Urk.
Is that the little alien? Because I don't think.
The little gray guy, his name is Urk. Because it's the only thing he ever says. Urk. Now, I don't know what his powers are, but they seem to be amazing, incredible powers, because, you know,
he seems to be a little technology. Get like what year did Gremlins come out?
84.
Oh, okay. So these feel like gremlins.
There is another character hidden in the wings of this story that I only realized when I started messing around and going through it. Do you remember? Okay, so about halfway through the issue, Lamprey and Nightwind are fanboying over Wildfire.
Yes.
And they're like, I could have cried. And then they're like, what about our friend? Our friend who can't leave his room. And they're like, our friend in the special wing, he had a choice, and that's almost impossible for his species. You know who that is?
No, I don't.
Tellus.
Oh.
A purple and yellow guy from Hycraeus who cannot breathe Earth's air.
Okay.
This is the first appearance, officially the first appearance of Tellus.
First mention.
Because if you actually go and you look at that first page when the Tain family are talking back and forth.
Uh-huh.
And they're teaching all their students. There's like, oh, yeah, there's a little thing there that somebody seems to be watching remotely. I'm like,
Interesting.
Understood and continuing to observe, teacher. Bleep.
Ah, yeah. Okay. All right. Cool.
That's Tellus watching from an atmosphere that he can breathe because he doesn't yet have a cool helmet that allows him to breathe in Earth's atmosphere.
Laurel Kent sure does like to run around in fewer clothes than Cosmic Boy.
Laurel Kent. I mean, she's invulnerable. So, I mean, if you want to run around in a little slingshot bikini barefoot, what better way to show off your invulnerability, I say.
I guess. And then it's a little on the nose that she's wearing the Superman tunic.
Superman cape. Yeah, she wears Superman's cape as like a weird off-the-shoulder kind of flash.
I thought it was more of a tunic or something. But anyway. So they're all going out on different missions to see how well they work with one another. Everybody whines and moans over who's cuter, a Wildfire or a Sun Boy.
God, I hate that. I hate that so much.
Why?
The girl Academy members get into a four-way cat fight over whether or not Wildfire is truly a noble hero. So Lamprey and Dipstick are all like, Lamprey and dark wild woof waffle, what is her name, windsock and Lamprey are like, you don't understand Wildfire, he's romantic and Byronic and misunderstood. And Comet Queen is all like totally, he sucks, you know, oh my god. And Laurel is like, he sucks, he's stupid and awful, Comet Queen is right. And it turns into this weird, I don't know, almost like a sorority movie on a Thursday night after 10 on Cinemax. And I'm unhappy just with the whole thing, because not only do they get into this whole, you know, fracas, the boys have to come in and break them up.
Right.
And that just bugs me when Power Boy and Magnetic Kid are like, all right,
Jed.
You terrible girls, Power Boy. His name is Power Boy.
His name's Jed. And he's like, golly, come on, Lamprey. Don't make me use my super strength. This isn't a training exercise. You know who'd win.
That also brings up another question for me.
Yeah.
These kids are sitting here, right? They're like, hey, we sure do want to be in the Legion.
Yeah.
And Shadow Lad or Shadow Kid, Kid Lad Shadow, is like, well, I can't be in the Legion. I have the same powers as an actor. Legionnaire.
Yeah, so
then Power Boy's like, I'm super strong.
Yeah.
And Laurel's like, I'm invulnerable.
They do bring that up at one point. Maybe it was towards the end in one of their big committee meetings where they're all standing around talking. Maybe it's page 18, something like that. Where they talk about, listen, we know none of these kids are really ready to become one of the missing members because we only have 21 members of the Legion.
Right.
They do make a point that some of these kids are just here to learn to control their powers so they don't go on a killing spree.
But, I mean, you've got a kid with magnetism. So Cosmic Boy is still on active duty. He can't be a Legionnaire. I fail to see how a kid with super strength makes it onto a team with five super strong members. I mean, how is Power Boy different than, even if you discount the Kryptonian level guys and your Ultra Boys, how is Power Boy's super strength different than Blocks?
So here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Jed, his power isn't super strength.
Isn't.
Okay. No, it isn't. It isn't. Because he sits there and he's like, golly, girls, you got to break this stuff up. And then all of a sudden his superpower is singing because he suddenly switches from
golly, papa.
that's his superpower.
Shut up.
Instant switching to a very melodic voice.
You're a bad person and you should feel bad.
Everybody listening now will never have that out of their mind every time they see Jed.
Power boy.
Yes.
Power boy.
So anyway.
They go out on a mission. And they're like, everybody goes out on missions.
Yeah.
But they send in Invisible Kid and the White
Witch. Well, because technically they were
for 12 minutes.
They've been made members, but they haven't gone technically through the training. So they kind of have to go through Legion training.
But what this issue really does is it kind of almost makes the team feel cliquish because.
Oh, yeah.
We know that historically guys have joined the Legion doing things that are much, much more self-absorbed, much more childish than what happens here. And if we look at like, why is Jacques a Legionnaire? Because he foolishly drank something that he shouldn't have and it gave him superpowers.
Right.
Just like Bouncing Boy.
Plus he can say, bon ami.
Right. Why is Maiza a Legionnaire? Because her big sister is the team leader. I mean, if you really break it down, you say things like, how did Element Lad get on the team? Saturn Girl broke every rule of membership and just awarded him membership. And I understand that they've shown, you know, that they belong. But when we get to the point where Starboy is like leading the meeting and the members of the Legion are like, are any of these kids even ready? And I'm like, I remember when you idiots were running around, you know, getting pwned by the likes of Evillo. It just really feels like a bunch of 20-somethings looking at a bunch of teenagers and going, man, those terrible, immature kids.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're having the discussion about how immature they are, Ultra Boy smashes a glass in rage.
Like, well, why? He's just upset because there's only 21 members of the Legion right now.
Right. And only four of them have all the powers of Superboy.
Right.
I mean, they're really, really low staffed.
Anyway, it all ends up with at the end of the issue that none of them are promoted because they simply weren't ready. And we saw what happened in the past when you have people who are not ready to be Legion members. They end up dying and we have to make a statue of them, including one of the missing member of Triplicate Girl, which is, again, I understand, but it's also kind of weird. It's like, are you going to put if I lose my arm, are you going to put up a statue of my arm?
None of the deceased Legionnaires actually make Starboy's point.
Right.
Because Pharaoh Lad had been with the team for a while. Invisible Kid had been with the team for years. Chemical King had been with the team for several years, even though he never got to do anything. I mean, it's not like any of them died because they were inexperienced. In fact, some of the kids, like Laurel, has been around longer than any of the members of the team who are deceased. And that final line where Starboy says, better no new Legionnaires than another dead one, that is so messed up. That is messed up. You should not be in a leadership role with an attitude like that, Tom. And it's clear
why
you
though,
never made it to a Legionnaire role.
If you go and look at their missions, they do point out, here's the reason why these people didn't quote unquote failed their missions, because they did this and this. So I mean, they've got reasons beyond just like, these young kids, we don't want any of them.
Sure, but did you notice that they were fighting all beasties from the old stories? I was like, why does that
escape from the zoo
look so weird? Yeah, but why does that flasher beast look so weird? Because that's actually a John Fort creature from back in the Adventure Comics days, who fought Beast Boy,
a Star Trek character.
No, seriously, the Flasher Beasts were on planet Orm.
Yeah.
When Animal Lad or the King of the Animals was around.
And I remember him from the credits of Star Trek. He's got white hair and he's standing there. Yeah.
And they referenced the Earthquake Beast. Mm-hmm. The Earthquake Beast was one of the things that Bouncing Boy defeated years and years ago.
Yep.
When they were fighting the Creature King and his Legion of Super Monsters or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well done, Paul Levitz.
Yeah. No, it's clear that he has a pretty good understanding of the lore, like the deep cut stuff, right?
Right.
Of what's going on in DC. But he sometimes he can just make
like it makes sense.
No, and you're right. It does make a lot of sense. But then there's times where it's just like, so were they shapeshifters before the war or not before the war? Kind of stuff that's kind of like, I haven't figured this out yet. That kind of makes it one step forward, two steps back at times. Oh, also, we don't have 21 members of the Legion, Matthew.
We don't. Why not?
Because Dawnstar has to go on a walkabout.
Dawnstar has
this custom with her people
to go on a vision quest.
Yeah,
that is oof.
I mean, she didn't say anything about a sweat lodge.
I know it's not like she's like in a yurt, but oof. I'm oofing.
That's why I said walkabout instead of a vision quest.
Walkabout is just a different Aboriginal tradition, Stephen.
Wildfire is so upset that he blows himself up.
I know, right?
This seems to be an ongoing thing, right? Because I seem to remember after this that fairly regularly he has an emotional reaction and blows himself up.
He gets angry. Yes. I don't know if he blows himself up regularly, but he does blow up. I can't remember. How did he... Okay, so he blew up in battle, and then Invisible Kid stepped into the alternate dimension to find him.
Right.
And then...
Yeah, this time he's like, he's admitting his love to Dawnstar, and she's like, I'm sorry, I must go with my people and my ways. Right. We're going to use the whole buffalo, and maybe I'll see you again. And he's like, but I love you. And then he's like, ba-boom!
I want to know, I think the real pressing question of Legion of Superheroes 3 or 4 is, what curse word did Bouncing Boy call Wildfire on page 2? Wildfire, you hermit of Fermida.
So actually, there is a, I don't know if it was in this issue or in previous issue.
Yes.
Where they actually use the word damn. Oh, yeah, it's in the annual. The word damn is a curse word that is used.
Damn in the annual, and then Wildfire says damn when he explodes.
He doesn't say damn. He says bam. Oh, I see it. It's the I took that as a B instead of a D.
Wow.
Yeah.
Remind me to get your handwriting checked.
No. It's just because of the fabric in the foreground. I was just filling in
fabric
the
in
space.
The foreground. A fabric. Oh, yeah, so you were looking for negative space.
Yeah. So I'm very yeah, I'm like, I am a concerned parent, and I think we need to talk to the government about reining these comic books in. I'm not that, but it's just like we've gone 30 years of no bad language in comics, and then suddenly, two issues in a row, we get some the word damn. Now, some people may be like, well, damn's not that.
Inside of 5 years, we'll be sprocking and libertying all.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different, right? Fake curse words are a little bit different than actually using real curse words.
I don't know. I mean, it may just be the way I was brought up. I feel like it's the intention that matters. And if
it is certainly that, but I think for the impressionable mind,
you're just putting Sprock at a point where you would say the F bomb. You're still conveying the intent.
Maybe
you're just dodging. I mean, it's like, it's what you call the sin of omission. And I feel like it should still count towards the intentions of
I think Sprock would be less regarded than the F word
or crot.
Q-R-O-T
makes
so anyway, so now we've only got 20 members of the Legion. What are we gonna do now? Guess we'll find out next time. That wraps it up for this installment of the Legion Clubhouse. Matthew, what did we learn this week?
We learned that there are only 21 members of the Legion.
I think we also learned that there's only 21 members of the Legion.
And most importantly, there's only 21 members of the Legion.
Questions, comments, etc. You know where to find us on the Twitter space as well as over on our main page, majorspoilers.com. If you enjoyed this episode, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. And until next time, I'm Damn Man.
And I'm 21 Members Boy.
The Legion Clubhouse is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC, and is produced by Steven Schleicher. Your hosts were Matthew Peterson and Steven Schleicher. You can follow Matthew at Mighty King Cobra and Steven at Major Spoilers. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Legion Clubhouse. If you have questions or comments, send them to podcast@majorspoilers.com. I'm Jason Inman. Until next time, eat it, Grandpa.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.